and welcome to Well-Rounded Corners. I'm Ruth Ann.
And I'm Robert.
And we'll be your hosts for the next hour. In this show, we will be interviewing Cal Ori. But before we get to the interview, I'd like to take a moment to remind you of various ways you can listen to our show. Shows are available within 24 hours after we air on BBS Radio, Channel 1, at 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific every other Tuesday, or on iTunes by searching Well-Rounded Corners, or on our website, wellroundedcorners.com. All of our show archives are completely free to listen to, share, and download at wellroundedcorners.com. You may even repost the interviews as long as you do so in their entirety.
Absolutely right. And with us tonight is Cal Ori. She's an accomplished author and journalist, specializing in health, nutrition, science, and pets. She's the author of the Healing Power series, covering vinegar, olive oil, chocolate, honey, and coffee. Those sound great, by the way, published by Kensington. And she's also an intuitive phone psychic for two international networks. She lives in Northern California, and you can visit her website at calorey.com. Great to have you with us, Cal.
Good evening. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, we're very excited. We got the mixed bag of predictions that you made for 2012, and that caught my eye, and I knew that would really catch the ears of our listeners as well, because there's just you have a very good track record in this field, and you lay out some very interesting forecasts, and I thought we could go over that, and also talk a little bit about your book series as well, and go over that some tonight.
Okay.
So just to start, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go from there.
Basically, I've been sensitive or an intuitive since I was a kid, like 8 years old. But back in 2005, I penned a book, The Man Who Predicts Earthquakes, about Jim Berkland. He's a geologist, and he predicted the Loma Prieta earthquake, the San Francisco quake, the 7.1. And during that time of my research, I realized, interviewing all these intuitives and people like him, that, hey, I can do this too. I mean, being a native Californian, I'm not new to earthquakes by any means. And I've been fascinated by them since I was 16. They used to call me, my woodshop teacher in high school called me Earthquake Annie. But we didn't have earthquake sensitive groups like we do now. So there was no one I could share my fear and, you know, talk about preparedness. But after the research, I fell into it, and I started getting on national radio shows with Jim Berkland, like Coast to Coast, and then he and I started having wagers. He, you know, like, California, when's the next 5.0 going to happen? And, you know, he would always say Southern California. I would always say Northern California. And I won the wagers with him, and that's the rest is history. It just, you know, I have another website, Earthquake Epicenter Forum, and that's where people like me go, and we predict earthquakes and weather changes and strange anomalies. I don't know, that might be an oxymoron. Anomalies all around the world. And so there you go. And then I realized if I can predict forecast earth changes, people are no different. And I fell into the phone psychic network thing. A couple years ago, I was calling them, asking them how much would my royalty check be. I was all nervous about it. And the answers I got were so bizarre. It was like my calling. I called back and talked to the people, and I said, you know what? I can do this. I can do it better. And so now I am a phone psychic for people all around the world.
That is cool.
I know. It is fun.
My question for you would be, I know that intuitives, people get messages in different ways. Some people mm-hmm. hear music, some people just know, some people smell, hear, have guides or visitors who tell them. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know, just out of curiosity, how do you know?
I get a lot of cues. Anxiety. I feel a discomfort. My dreams are very vivid. Always have been. Visions. I don't have a guide. I can channel sometimes. But I don't have a guide, you know, like an older man or somebody from the past or on the other side. Remote viewing, that's really a trip. For instance, a couple weeks ago I had a caller from Canada, and she rescues cats, and she told me about a kitten that was probably dumped by a human, and a three-week-old kitten that she saved, and I did remote viewing, and I told her there was another one out there, and I could actually see it, and I said it was black, it was male, and it was okay. I mean, it was really cold. We're talking 20, 30 degrees at night, but I said it was in shelter. It was covered over something, and the next day she went out there, and lo and behold, she found it and called me and thanked me.
Wonderful.
How about that?
Well, that is wonderful. Good for you.
No, that must be nice to get that kind of validation.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, the reviews on one of the networks, we get reviews, and it really, when the people are appreciative, I can give a great reading if I'm not challenged. If a person on rare occasion will call up and, you know, how do you know you're psychic? Come on, tell me, what color is my hair? I'm thinking, I don't need this, you know?
Right.
But when the person calls up and they're sincere, I wow them. You know, I just really can just zone into them. And it's creepy because when I make a psychic connection, I'll literally get chills, and so will they. Kind of like a dentist. I like to think of the analogy when I'm going to the dentist, by the way, tomorrow. it's kind of like when a caller calls me up, it's like if they open their mouth and I'm a dentist and I start probing, and if I hit a nerve or a sensitive spot and they kind of go, oh, and that's what it's like. And it's really, it's awesome to do that again and again. It's a little bit creepy and spooky at times because it just comes to me. I use my right brain, the creative side, and it kind of scares me. Like, how do I know they have two kids? How do I know what ages they are? How do I know, you know, some of these things that come to me because I don't use my analytical brain. I use the creative side, like when I write. And it really shocks us a lot of the time.
Well, I totally agree with you. If someone's not open or they're challenging you, it is a totally different situation.
If you go to a doctor,
right?
If you start challenging a doctor, they're gonna have an attitude.
Right, that dentist. If you go to the dentist and clamp your mouth shut, he can't exactly help your teeth. You know, it's the same idea, I would think. Just when you see people or touch people, do you get things automatically from them, or?
Yeah, yes. Sometimes I don't even want them to talk anymore. Usually what I do, Intuitive Callie, what's your name? And then they give me if I was psychic, I would know it, right? Then they give me their name. And then sometimes I could tell right away, but sometimes I say, why don't you just start off and ask me a question, and I'm going to jump in real quick. And within a minute, I jump in and tell them what sun sign they are, what region they're calling from, what their age is, and what their issue is. And we go from there.
Well, that is wonderful. And I know it must really feel good to you to be able to help people. I think that is the most wonderful part.
It is. And when, you know, having the regular clientele, and it's almost like watching a soap opera. You know, I love it when they call me back and give me updates. And I have a memory of an elephant, which is a blessing in this type of work, because even though on one of the networks we can write notes, it's a lot easier if you just remember it, you know, and I think that kind of surprises them. So I won't go senile. Helps me. But no, it is extremely rewarding. But it's also a visionary friend of mine. She's older, and she warned me. She knows I'm ultra sensitive and somewhat emotional type A, and she was worried that I would take the negative energy and bring it into my world. And she'd always tell me to wash my hands after a negative call or take a shower. But, you know, how practical is that?
You can brush off.
Well, I have to tell you that sometimes a call really does get me worked up, because I maintain and sound very calm and grounded, and people say that my voice is so soothing and all that. But sometimes I've literally just signed off. It's just, especially with fire signs, they're quite intense. Not all, but they can be. And water signs can be emotional, crying, and I do get the criers. I have become desensitized to a point, you know, kind of like veterinarians. I mean, if you bring in your dog and it's sick and, you know, the vet tech starts crying, I mean, she's not going to have a job, you know, too long. So I try and stay calm, but some of the calls really do get me going. You know, it's hard to put that wall up and be really, really professional and not feel, and especially when I feel what they're feeling. I can feel their anger. You know, that's an empath. Yes. I can feel their anger. I can feel their pain. And, you know, I don't go in convulsions like you see in some of those movies and,
no,
and
but,
you know, go in.
But that is very hard. That's very hard.
Well, yeah. And on that thought, you know, either when you're talking with clients one-on-one or you are making forecasts for things that may not be particularly a rosy subject or topic, you know, professionally, you do have to remain objective like a doctor would. But this isn't really a field where you can do that, is it really? I mean, how when you see an event in the future, how do you avoid that torrent of emotion that can go
That's a good thing. I mean, a doctor, you know, if the person has cancer or they suspect it, you know, how do you tell them and be all rosy? Mm-hmm. What I've done, I'm known as one of the down-to-earth psychic advisors, and I don't sugarcoat stuff. I don't tell people what they want to hear so they feel all warm and fuzzy for the night, because I don't want bad karma, and I don't want them calling me back saying you lied and all that. And I've been there, and you spend a lot of money, and then if this person tells you something and it doesn't happen, you know, I'm the scapegoat. So let's just say hypothetically somebody calls me tonight and they say, is my husband cheating? And if I really sense they are, I'll tell them, yeah. But I don't like to leave them on a down note, you know, like saying, yeah, your husband's cheating, have a nice life. Right. I always give them plan B, you know, like this may be a blessing in disguise. My God, you're still 27. You have your whole life ahead of you. I mean, isn't it good that you know it now? Are you in school? That's great. Put all of your energy into that. So I help them with problem solving and give them, you know, plan B, plan C. So I'm not just saying, hey, man, he's cheating on you. It must be bad. You know, so I feel good about that, where they're, you know, crying and really tense when they call me. But before they hang up, I can feel a sense of calm.
That's
and that
wonderful.
Makes me feel good. Yeah.
Well, now in relation to when you make, you know, more generalized forecasts for groups of people or for just the earth, it's kind of harder to leave on a, especially when, you know, in the turbulent times we're in. I didn't even really like that phrase, but there's just no other way to put it. I mean, we are encountering more change than we almost ever have, and it's going to even get more and more intense. So, you know, that just seems like something that would be very easy or very hard to leave on an up note, I guess, in a way sometimes.
Well, the preparedness thing. I'm glad you brought that up. Right before this show, it really upset me where I went on to Earthquake Epicenter Forum, and one of our regular posters, he has a good track record. I don't know him personally, but he said that, you're going to love this, San Francisco and Los Angeles are going to be destroyed. I mean, we're not talking a major earthquake. They're going to be destroyed, kind of like gone, within 3 months to 6 months. And I'm the moderator, right? So I went in there and I played soup, quick Nazi, you know, like in Friends, no soup for you. And I deleted it. And then I sent him an email and I said, hey, we don't need this negativity. Hello. I don't want to be linked to a site that causes, you know, mass chaos and craziness. I mean, come on, San Francisco and LA are going to be wiped off the earth. We don't need that. So I'm saying, and I kind of feel like a hypocrite because I'm looking at my 2012 mixed bag of predictions. But now I kind of, my forecast, it's a little bit more delicate. Well, it's not that much more delicate. What a hypocrite.
It's hard
to. Oh, my gosh. I know. Okay, let me read it for the people that are listening. How funny is that? But didn't I do a caveat? I must have. Oh, my God. I said the West Coast will have significant earthquakes. Okay, that's a no-brainer. I mean, we're in the second shakiest state, you know, in the United States. So that's a no-brainer. And we're in a seismic drought. We're overdue. Okay. But then I said the West Coast may, I didn't say it will, I said it may be hit with an 8.0. Okay, folks, that's a great quake. That's a great quake. That's like the San Francisco 1906 quake. That is
right.
Stronger than the 7.1 quake in 1989, which
that is a life-altering quake. That is not trivial at all. Most definitely.
No, it's a great quake. It's not as large as the Japan 9.0, but it's bad. And I said that'll create tsunamis, but that is possible. It's very, very possible. Now, why am I different than this person that I removed his post? Because I didn't say that everything's going to be destroyed. Sure, if we pretend we have an 8.0 right now, yeah, we probably would have tsunamis, big waves in certain mm-hmm. coastal towns, for sure. I'm glad I live in a mountain town. Now watch, we'll get hit and the lake will get me. But that's possible. That's possible too, to say where it just slashes back and forth. Mm-hmm. But I didn't say that the whole Golden State is going down. And I feel that this person was kind of like saying that, you know, where it almost makes you wonder, should I leave California? And then I did say a 7.0 may rock the San Francisco Bay Area, which is possible. I mean, even the USGS will tell you that. Mm-hmm. But they give a 30-year window, a seismic window. Now, that doesn't do us that much good. I mean, we all know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. I do say the epicenter would be in the East or South Bay. That's a given. That's on the Hayward Fault Line or the San Andreas. Mm-hmm. And that's the granddaddy, the big one that's 800 miles and runs north and south throughout California. And I, oh, God, what a hypocrite I am.
Well, it depends on how you say things. I mean, you know, you can be a doctor and say, I'm sorry, it looks as if you have a tumor.
A catastrophic
you know,
tumor
that's different.
That could rock your world. That's what I said in this article that's going to be published in January. I said a catastrophic earthquake could also rock greater Los Angeles. It's possible either shaker could be the big one. But in defense of these predictions, the USGS knows it's going to happen too. We have shakeout drills every year. It's just a matter of time. The Bay Area or LA, or maybe both. You know, a trigger effect could happen. But I do not believe everyone's going to die. I do not believe we're going to fall into the sea.
Your predictions of an earthquake in that region, and also New Madrid. I know we didn't get to New Madrid, and that's particularly of importance to us because we're in the area where if we had a 9 at New Madrid, they say we'd have like a 4 to 5 here, probably a 5. 5 would do some damage in this area because we are not earthquake ready. But the prediction of the earthquake, a big earthquake in the U.S. this year, goes in line with a lot of other predictions, not just from what I think people feel, but Cliff High, we had him on last week or last episode. You know, he was saying some of the same things. We've heard remote viewers and other people say something along those lines. So that is a substantiated prediction. It's not just one isolated thing. I mean, I think we all can kind of feel that there's something along those lines coming, you know, unfortunately.
True, because I mean, you know, that Virginia quake, that rare quake, that
yes.
5.8, that was felt in, 22 states.
Right.
Now, you know, I don't think anybody was hurt or killed in that, but it was kind of like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
If something's coming alive, and if it would have gone a little bit more east to New Madrid, I mean, look what happened in 1811 and 1812.
Yeah, that earthquake shocked both of us on both of our houses to add earthquake insurance.
Well, but wait now. It was right before the quake that we bought it. I had a big feeling, and I told my husband it was finally time to get earthquake insurance, and so there we went.
and for my house, we got into earthquake insurance, too. It's very mm-hmm. cheap in this area, so we added it. Unfortunately, we're going to have to take a break here. We'll be right back in a few minutes. We'll continue talking about your predictions for 2012, some interesting stuff.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness,
stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma, and it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system. And Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Ho Chi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as La Ho Chi. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's alabamareiki.com.
And welcome back to Well-Rounded Corners. We're talking tonight with Cal Ori, and we were talking about her predictions for 2012. Cal, can you tell us a little bit more about how you see 2012 shaping up?
Right. I feel terrible. Well, I don't feel terrible, but there is a difference from saying that those two cities would be destroyed versus saying that there's going to be major quakes, correct?
Well, You can't. I feel it would be very hard to not say anything to avoid disturbing anyone. You know, you have to say something if you really feel that way.
Well, that's what he said. You know, he wanted to save lives. The two cities would be destroyed. But come on. Right. You know, these types of predictions. Jim Berkland, he did back in March, right after the Japan quake. He went on Fox News. He got more than a million hits. And he said that the West Coast was next. Now, I was saying the same thing on a radio show the same day, not even knowing that he was saying that.
Oh.
But I don't know. It's kind of like a fine line, maybe how we say it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a firm.
I'm
a firm believer in how we say things.
Yes.
You know, we cast spells with our words, and we don't even realize it. And when you say something is going to be destroyed, that's really a very negative thing. Saying that the Earth is going to shake, the Earth, it's going to shake anyway. I mean, whether we stop it or not, but the cities...
We know that.
Yeah,
we know that. And it's good to be prepared. I mean, by saying that, you know, but that it's going to be destroyed, that is taking it to the highest level. And, yeah, that's just...
Well,
I don't know.
The way I look at it is this. If I need to tell someone something I get from them, and I tell them, you know, your house is going to be destroyed, what hope is there in that? I would never say that to someone. Now, I would say, I feel like there might be something coming that you might want to make sure that, you know, you've got your, you know, that you have your insurance, or you just want to make sure that you have some supplies. I mean, there's a way to say it that gives people hope.
Right. Like with Harold Camping, I did an anti-prediction against both of his, May 21st and October 21st, he said the world would end. Think of all those poor people that gave all their monies to him, believing in that.
Yeah,
and I was on a major show the week of that, and I made an anti-prediction saying it's not going to happen. I did the same thing in October. And for one who believed in the Y2K, I mean, I went crazy. Before the Y2K, you know, 1999, I really thought the world was going to end as we knew it. I had all my editors pay me off. I was convinced I had to have the money. I was thinking about getting a typewriter. I really thought we wouldn't have computers. My pantry, oh my God, it was so wonderful. I had everything in it. I went to bed that night thinking I could turn on the TV and watch each country go down one by one. Talk about gullible. And after that happened, the next week, editors called me laughing at me. I was so embarrassed. And when that happened, I told myself I would never fall for these things again. You know, and well, we could talk about December 21st a little bit later.
It's fear programming. It's fear programming. I mean, I really believe, I'm not saying that everything like that is, because there are some really legitimate things that we have to watch out for. But I think when a date like that is picked up and is massaged in the news and shouted everywhere, I think
people
it is
make
a
money.
Yes, it's money. I think it's fear mongering.
Yes.
It's
Right. And we've talked about that before on the show, how, you know, ways to keep yourself from falling into that rabbit hole. You know, you read the news, you read the comments, and you can really come away thinking, I'm just going to go over in my corner and die because there's no point in anything because, you know, everyone's mean, the world is horrible, and why should I bother? You know, and so, but you're not fostering that kind of thing. And that's what the difference, I think, is. Are you going for something positive, or are you trying to put fear into people? And obviously, you're going for positive things. So I think that's what makes the difference. Yeah, it's intention.
Okay, so the Midwest and the Madrid Zone, I did, there has been quakes back in January. There was like 500 plus quakes in Arkansas. I don't know. A lot of people believe it was fracking, man-made, you know, the drilling. Nobody really knows, but I just sense that the New Madrid Zone, seven states make up it, but because the ground is so different than it is on the West Coast, if you people in the Midwest get a 6.0 or stronger, it's going to be felt in more than a dozen states, probably two dozen plus states. You know, in California, if we had a 7.0, it could be felt maybe in four or five states, but not like them, you know, in the Madrid Zone. But that's a no-brainer, too. A lot of people believe that that region is coming alive. Missouri, I don't think I wrote it in the article, but I believe Missouri definitely could be a place where the epicenter is. I don't think Arkansas. I'm just going to go with Missouri. That's what's coming to me. And then this is another prediction. I was on a show recently, and a seismologist in Japan, he was being silenced by the government for his prediction, but I agree with him totally. He said, I forget his name, but he says that an aftershock, a very strong aftershock, like an 8.0 at least, could happen in Japan where the 9.0 happened, and that's definitely possible. And he believes that, you know, more radiation could happen, and that's definitely possible too. And so I put that in here, that could happen. I have sensed if it does happen, it could even be worse this time around, the radiation part. You know, it's pretty spooky knowing that it was coming west to the, you know, the Pacific Northwest, all the way down to Southern California, and the water, the food.
And still is. I mean, we might as well. It still is coming. You know, they're burning the debris from that tsunami, which is an excellent move, by the way. I'm giving a thumbs up symbol. You know, I mean, burning radioactive debris, that's just is not. I just don't understand that. But yeah, they're burning it, and that stuff is coming over here. I mean, we can't deny it. And so any and that's another concern with earthquakes. I mean, we're not trying to do fear here, but you know, after Japan, every time we've had an earthquake here or every time we've had a large earthquake after, that becomes a concern. I mean, we had the power outage here. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, it infects our environment, our food chain, and it could actually happen in California as well. And I had said that before recently, that we have two active nuclear reactors down in Southern California. I mean, there's tsunami signs down there. It could happen here. I'm not the only one to say that. So, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, get rid of all the nuclear reactors? No, the government won't do it, but I don't know.
Well, even if you tried to do it at this point, it would take a while to get everything shut down and so forth. So that's not the answer in the short term anyway.
You can't flip a switch, right?
Right.
Now, you mentioned weather events, and I just want to say something here before you do that. We've had a lot of, I'm going to reference Cliff High here again. His work with the WebBots predicts a very strong winter this year. Our winter here in North Alabama has been considerably colder than it usually is. We had a snowfall in late November, which I've never known to happen.
Well, guess what? Not here. Guess where I'm at. Did I interrupt you? You were going to.
Oh, no. Go ahead. No.
Well, the Sierra, I live like at Lake Tahoe. That's mm-hmm. like a valley girl. I live in Lake Tahoe.
Like it is, yes.
Like wow. And it is so fall. Yeah, I have a fire going in the fireplace, but I mean, it gets cold at night, but this is fall, no snow. And today I read an article in the Tribune that you know, it's hurting the tourism. Yes. I mean, this is where people come from around the world to ski. Yeah, they make man-made snow, but it's not the same thing. And we are not going to have a white Christmas. No way. It's not going to be like last year. Uh-uh.
Wow.
I do believe we will have some newsworthy events, and probably in January and February, where I'll be whining that I don't want to go shovel any more snow, and I have to move to Hawaii despite the radiation. Well, you know, and walking the dogs when it's like 4 feet high, and it's just screaming and yelling and telling my little brother, why are we here? I don't want to live here anymore. But I don't think it's going to be as bad as last year. I do believe, though, that the Midwest and the Northeast, they're going to get some severe snowstorms. I don't believe the Northeast is going to get hit as bad as they did last year. That was horrific. I mean, yes, remember New York, they were saying New York is going to be underwater. My God, my publisher, I was freaking out. I fell into that too. That was like with CNN on Saturday morning. I was watching to see all the five boroughs be underwater like Katrina, and it didn't happen.
Yes. Well, what about what do you see for, and I know this represents a small portion of our audience, but we're the hosts, so we can ask this. What do you see for our the north of the south, the Tennessee Valley, Ohio Valley area? What do you see, or I guess specifically the Tennessee Valley area, which is North Alabama, Tennessee, that area?
Probably snow. The whole Midwest, snow. Just when I close my eyes, I see a lot of rain. Some flooding in the Pacific Northwest, the Bay Area, the Midwest. The Midwest is going to get slammed with snow, and probably in some rare places again. We're like, hey, why is it snowing here and not at Lake Tahoe?
Right.
I don't think the Northeast is going to be as bad as last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving on into the summer and into the fall, I believe that hurricanes and flooding could be nasty. And that Katrina really had an effect on me and so many people. And I see it not happening in New Orleans again, but I see Texas, and I see it's a possibility that it could happen. It could affect the oil. And I know, I think there was some documentary on that, I don't know, a few years back on PBS channel showing that's the worst case scenario. You know, gas prices would soar to like
yes.
$5 or even more a gallon. But I believe I see that. And you asked me earlier, you know, what type of cues do I get? And I just, it just keeps coming to me in messages. That's where it's coming, my words. You know, like if I get a magnitude or something, or where an earthquake's going to come to me, it's coming to me in word messages. That Texas, and I wrote up this article. So,
well, that should be interesting. They've had all the drought, and then, well, they'll get the rain that way.
Yeah, and
that's
I think
not how they want it.
I think that's part of the reason that in 2000, I don't know that I've got this exactly right, but I think in 2007 they had a tropical storm or hurricane come through there. I think it was Rita, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm not right, but it screwed up a lot of the offshore platforms there. And I think
right.
it did have a significant impact on gas prices, and that was a minor event compared to what a Katrina-like storm could be. So, yeah, that could definitely be a big impact for sure. Healthcare, you know, healthcare has been on the minds of a lot of people. I get the sense that people don't know what's really going on with it because it's all sort of up in the air.
Frustrating. It's
frustrating. Yeah. What do you see for that?
I see the Blue Shield. My provider is going to raise this. I know they are, because last week, excuse me, at 8:00 at night, I got an automated call. Hello, have you had your mammogram? The year is almost over. Hello, Have you had your colonoscopy? We offer this to you for free. Take advantage of it. Have a good night.
That's a borderline.
Oh, my God.
And obscene.
That'll give you some interesting dreams, won't it?
Yeah, that's a very
colonoscopies.
No, the message I was getting from that is, okay, yeah, it is cool insurance if you're self-employed that I get all that for free, right? But they're going to raise it. They're going to raise it because the premiums and deductible are so high. And it's sad because healthy people like me, we never use it. I've never met my deductible. And paying those premiums every month, I know they're going to raise it. I know.
And they're horrible already, so.
There's a lot of people that I predict that they're going to go without insurance like they are. The hospital emergency rooms will be overcrowded because they have to take you, you know. So that's where people are going to go when they're not insured. So that's not going to be fun. But then I do say on a I'll hear some positive stuff. On a positive note, people will go back to the basics. It is kind of a wake-up call to, you know, hey, stop smoking if you do that. Stop drinking a lot if you do that. Start eating healthy food, you know, and not processed food. A lot of people, it is a trend where they're not buying all the processed food that's so expensive with the packaging and, you know, empty nutrition and exercise to stay healthier. I mean, it's really a lesson of self-reliance. If you stay healthy, you know, you're going to live longer and a more quality life.
Absolutely. Well, you're preaching to the choir. You're speaking to two vegetarians and you know, we definitely have, I know that when I cut out several years ago, when I cut out as much of the processed stuff as I could and went, you know, whole and organic and stuff, it made a big difference with me. And I've heard that with a lot of different people, and it's definitely... yes, the food's a little more expensive, but you know what? It's cheaper and better than having to go to the doctor. So,
good luck. And I think part of the problem is that there's so much confusion. You know, one week this is good for you, another week this is good for you, and you know, it's. I think sometimes it's hard to get it all sorted out. So, you know,
you have to look at the studies. You know, if the studies, if you see a study that chocolate's bad for you because 10 rats died, you know, I don't know. But if you look at a groundbreaking study with 48,000 women in a certain age group, you know, and it's controlled, it depends. You know, you really have to look at the study and the information where you're getting it from. But,
And anyone who will tell me that chocolate is good for me, I'll listen really, really closely.
But it is. It is moderation, dark chocolate in moderation. Yes. Mm-hmm. I've been craving chocolate every day lately.
Me too. Actually, I've been I love dark chocolate, and I've been really motivated to eat more than I probably should. But like you said, it is good for you in moderation. It's just that in moderation that we have to watch out for.
And I'm looking right at this moment at a picture of the front of your book, The Healing Powers of Chocolate. And it really looks good. And now I want some more chocolate. But can you tell me, just for information's sake, you know, your take on The Healing Powers of Chocolate? Because, I know you've got a book and I intend to read it. But, you know, but I'd like to hear, just for all the, especially the women, but everybody out there who'd like to have another bite of their dark chocolate.
Well, it's a fallacy. It's a myth that if you eat dark chocolate, you're going to get fat. And so many people say that about chocolate. But again, if you just eat like one small square of dark chocolate, 70% cocoa content, it'll curb your sweet cravings, where you won't want to eat donuts and unhealthy fattening stuff that has more calories. And it's not even that high in calories if you have one square. Right. And again, it's the chocolate, like milk chocolate, that's filled with all that fat and sugar. That's the kind that you want to keep on eating, like, you know, a huge box of candy, the lesser brands, you know, that aren't that expensive and that aren't high in cocoa content. That's the kind where people eat the whole thing and wonder why they gain pounds. But if you eat the quality chocolate, just a small piece, it definitely can curb sweet craving, so you're not going to gain weight. There's a lot of reasons. I don't have the book in front of me, and really, I'm kind of like now in coffee land. But I know that there's studies that I include in the book that just like honey, which is the newest one out, that all these superfoods, dark chocolate is considered a superfood, a functional food. It can help stave off heart disease, obesity, as I mentioned, stabilize cholesterol levels, stave off even diabetes too. It's a lot healthier to eat a tiny piece of dark chocolate every day versus, you know, 5 donuts, and
yes,
you're going to an unhealthy land.
Well, yeah. So we have a license to eat dark chocolate. That's definitely a good thing.
A little bit.
Yes, a little bit in moderation. We're gonna have to take another break here. We'll be right back, and when we get back, we're gonna talk about your economic predictions, and then finish up with you have a little bit of political stuff and fringe stuff, and yeah, so all sorts of cool stuff coming up. We'll be right back.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com or call 1-800-672-8415.
And welcome back. We're speaking tonight with Cal Ory, and we were going into the break. We were going to talk about more about the economy. So, if you could tell us more about how you feel about the economy coming up.
Okay, so in 2011, I predicted. Well, back in 2010, in December, I predicted 2011 we would be challenged by tough times. I did say that a double dip recession would happen. Now, a lot of people, it really depends on where you live. A lot of people believe that we're in a depression. A lot of people believe we're still in recession. Some economists believe that we're slowly recovering. I don't believe that's true. I believe we're on the brink of disaster, economic disaster. I really, really do. Even more so than Mother Nature in 2012. It's just going to be, it's going to be rocky.
Well, let me ask you real quick on this. You say disaster when you talk about the economy. Now, are we? Well, let me think how to phrase this.
I'm talking about shutdown of government. I mean, the post office. Come on.
Well, right. No,
down.
I know. No, I know.
Yes.
What I'm wondering is, in the grand scheme of things, in terms of moving to a more, less corporate dominated society, or moving towards a more open, giving, caring society, is a disaster in that way, or is it more of a disaster in that the old infrastructure is going to be coming down? Like, I hope I'm making the distinction clear.
Is this
going to
be a good thing in the long run?
Yes. That's...
Well, change usually is good once you get through it. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I moved to Tahoe, it was hard to go leaving the Bay Area, but once I got here, I was really happy. And so I believe change is happening. It's going to be very uncomfortable. I believe the middle class is shrinking. You know, it's definitely shrinking. That's not a good thing. I mean, they've been talking about shutdown of government. How scary is that?
Yes.
We're talking about people that are on Medicare and disability and stuff. I mean, what's going to happen there? I don't know. It just, some people will really hurt and some people won't even, you know,
right.
The Jim Berkelands and people like that, they're going to do fine. Other people, not so much. It just, I don't think any age group is safe, to be honest with you. I used to just say it was the baby boomers like me that would have to keep working and no retirement. But, you know, the elderly, they have their own crosses to bear. And the young kids that, you know, college that can't afford to go, or they go and then they can't get a job. I mean, it's nasty.
Well, double majors, master's degrees, you're very common to be working, you know, bagging groceries. And I'm not saying bagging groceries is bad. Right. In fact, it's very good. I mean, you know, anything that you're doing helping others is great. But it's obviously not what they hope for. And, you know, so many people now are moving back in, or so many kids now are moving back in after, you know, losing their job, or they can't find a job. That's a big trend. So, I mean, I think we all, I have felt that, and obviously I'm not as gifted or honed as you are, but I have definitely felt that the economy, that we're going to be losing some foundation and a changeover is coming in this area. And I've felt that for a long time. And I know a lot of other people who have, and I think we're all echoing that.
What's scary is when I started doing the phone psychic work 2 years ago, the Canadians, they didn't seem to talk about money problems. You know, their health care is pretty good. Well, I don't, it has its pros and cons, but they didn't call me about money problems. They are now. People in New Zealand and Australia, they didn't call me about money problems. They are now.
Right.
So I just see it globally. And plus, my books, they've been translated in almost 20 languages around the world. And I've been spoiled by nice royalty checks and advance checks from different countries. I've noticed it's kind of changed. They're still getting picked up. I'm still getting these checks, but it's not, I mean, like back in 2007, well, I shouldn't get that personal. It just, I've seen the change. I've seen the change where it's global. I mean, it's definitely global. My checks are different. They're not as plentiful from all the countries. And I just see, I mean, you see, Europe's in trouble. I mean, one day it's Italy, the next day it's Greece. I mean, come on. And it's definitely going to affect us. Mm-hmm.
It's all sort of hanging, I mean, I feel that, in a lot of ways, the old structure is sort of hanging on by a thread, and it, you know, it'll start to unravel and start to give way. Then they'll go patch it up real quick. But you know, have you noticed the patching that they're doing to try to keep it intact and from exploding at the seams?
It's not.
It's getting less and less effective. You know, we keep on trying to give it drugs to make it, you know, they're wearing off quicker, and it's just not working, you know, anymore.
It's like back the last recession in 2002, I think it was. The five magazines I worked for all tanked within a month. My credit, I couldn't keep up. And so I started using my credit cards for food and basics. And once you start doing that, you're in deep doo-doo. It's really hard to recover. And I see that's what we're doing. We're borrowing. We're in bankrupt. We're bankrupt. You know, what this two-month deal that they're doing, 2 months, what's that going to do? There's going to be more bickering.
Right. I
think that's called kicking the can down the road, which is so ironic. But at any rate, that's a whole other discussion for another day. But yes, I guess, you know, to me, this is what I've always got, and I just want to see what you share about it. I mean, what you think. To me, I've always seen that, yes, there's going to be pain. There's going to be change in this regard. The old system cannot simply continue like it is. But doesn't that give us an opportunity to have a lot of change that's really necessary, that needs to happen, that you know, that the old stuff sort of, some of it has to kind of come away to where we can get a more altruistic society, a more giving, caring, like the humans that we are. I mean, that is a basis.
I feel you're being too idealistic.
What happens?
If you watch these doomsday movies, it's survival of the fittest, and people get, you know, you see rioting, stealing, crime. I see chaos. I mean, let's do a hypothetical. What if they cut the police force in half or even more? I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, people are going to take advantage. I see social unrest, huge. I see, and you were asking me earlier, what kind of cues do I get? You know, it's like again and again echoing in my brain, OCD, social unrest, social unrest. No,
yes,
I mean, people fight. I get a lot of people calling me about their marriages. Some people are staying together just for the money because they can't leave. The women don't love their husbands anymore, or the husbands are cheating, but they stay because they have no way of, you know, taking care of themselves, or they're fighting more. Or if the man can't get a job, his self-esteem goes down and then he starts drinking. No, it's terrible. No, I don't believe that it's all going to be rosy.
Right. I'm not trying to make it all. I guess I'm just saying, like, is there a positive light at the end of the tunnel? I'm not trying to minimize.
2020, get back to me.
2020.
If I'm on the other side, just call my kitty's name. Go Zen.
There you go.
So you don't see it getting better until for the next 8 years is what you're saying, right? I mean, or at least.
I wonder if I'll still color my hair then. I don't know. I'm like a cat. I don't really like change. I mean, it's good, but it's going to be turbulent. Fasten your seatbelt. You know, I know I don't believe we're all going to die, but it's going to be hard.
The problem too is that even if it sounded that the people who have a lot, you know, will be shaken up and so forth and so on, and on the surface that sounds, well, that's interesting, but the problem that is that people who don't have very many resources and backup plans and backup funding, even a small change can make a huge difference.
Right.
And I do think it's a good thing to you know, be aware of possibilities and so forth. I don't think
it's frustrating. There's going to be a war of the classes. There already is. Mm-hmm. I used to be a Democrat, and now I'm starting to put on airs with people my age that get disability when they're really not that disabled, and they leech off the government. But I have to work night and day, the worker bee, being the author and the phone psychic. You can imagine how I feel. So I'm no longer Democrat. I don't know what I am. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm Republican.
Well, you're an independent. There's a big move for that. People are becoming disillusioned of politics in general.
Well, and you can vote for a person and not the party too. So I think people are starting to do that too.
But I think people are kind of
straight this or that. You know, it's this guy seems to be less of an evil or more of someone who wants to help than the other guy, whatever party he is.
But we're moving into an age of where there's fewer and fewer heroes in that regard, and in a way, that's bad because, you know, there used to be. Yeah.
What bothers me is that we're not working together, and it's so bipartisan. We're working against each other. Mm-hmm. And what, Rodney King, did he die? I think he died. Why can't we all get along, especially during time of crises? But I do see, okay, it's coming to me now, my crystal ball. I do see some sort of event, economic collapse, but this could all bring us together more, kind of like, you know, when something bad, you know, like when the tsunami happened, we all worked together. Mm-hmm. So with the economic collapse, we're going to have to do that too. So I guess I'm sort of contradicting myself. Yes, there will be social unrest and chaos, but also we may work together too. I mean, there could be both scenarios. Yes.
We just lost Cal there briefly, but we got her back. So you were just saying before we got disconnected that marriages can be stronger in the face of adversity.
We might all grow together, but don't count on it immediately. There's going to be more social unrest, maybe in the long run.
I was going to say, speaking of people getting divorced and breaking up and nastiness and things like that, what do you see about the campaign coming? I mean, the elections coming up.
Well, I made my prediction, my forecast on Earthquake Epicenter Forum, that website that we talked about. I made it about 3 months ago. It came to me. It just came to me. I knew Kane wasn't going to get it. That's a joke. I don't know. Before I made the forecast, I was on a talk show and I said that the presidential election is going to be a crazy year. Well, yeah, of course. But I also, it just came to me that Obama, and I'm not saying, I did predict that he was going to get it last term, and I was right. And I do believe he's going to be reelected. And you may think, oh my God, everyone says he's only going to be a one-term president. But I just feel that something's going to come down where we're going to feel more comfortable with him, and he's going to come off more trustworthy in the long run. And it's just out of familiarity. And he's a likable guy. He's a Leo. He's got charisma. He keeps his cool. He does have good traits. True, we're not all happy, but then his hands are tied a lot of the time. And again, I'm not 101% Obama. I'm just, don't shoot the messenger.
You're making a prediction. That is what it is.
I felt the same way you're describing.
We have so little time, and I've got to ask you this. I wanted to ask you this, and I forgot earlier. The situation in the Middle East, what's going on, all the posturing and war talk and mongering. Anything there for this year?
That's been going on for so long.
I know.
I'm more concerned with Russia. They bought my books too. They translated them, and they still. I don't know. For some reason, I'm seeing something worse with the superpowers. We're not so friendly with Russia right now, as mm-hmm. I'm sure you know.
Right.
I just see something happening there. The Middle East, yeah, problems. I just see social unrest all around the globe.
Yes.
It's just, and again, you turn on CNN and you see it. It's just.
But no, do you see? I guess when I said the Middle East, that I should say, do you see any major conflicts in 2012 in terms of?
Do I see a nuclear war? Do I see war?
Yes.
Well, did I say a lot? I think in this thing I wrote up, I think I said a lone wolf thing. And I agree with that. Did I say a lone wolf? Yeah, I did. I said a man-made disaster, perhaps due to a lone wolf type of act.
Okay.
Or even some type of virus may cure, without a cure, may rock our world. Interestingly enough, after I wrote this up, 2 days later on MSNBC.com, they said, I don't know if you saw that, this is just last week, but that man has created a virus that's deadly. And that was
right
after I wrote this. Yeah,
and I thought, geez, that's great. That's what we needed. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very productive use of our time. Yes.
I know it's like that movie Outbreak. I know. But I thought it was really weird how I wrote this up. And then that comes out a week later like, oh, my God. So there you go.
Well,
wait. Let's play this on a positive note. What did I say? Overall, okay, 2012 will be like a wild roller coaster ride. I hate roller coasters. The rich and poor will become more defined as the middle class will continue to shrink. Make my day. That's not good. There has to be something positive. Hold on. Short paragraph. Bipartisan politics will be at war, yeah, but a weird cataclysmic event may happen that will bring humanity together as one. I do believe that.
Yeah.
The world will not end on December 21st, you heard it here, but it may feel like end days are near, yet we will survive and persevere. Yeah, I sound like a president.
Yeah.
Well, no, the weird event that you talked about, that really resonates with me. To me, I have felt that there is going to be something that it will bring us together. It'll be catastrophic in some way, but that it will be weird. That's a horrible word to use, but that's the only one I know. It's just going to be completely like, wow, we never saw that coming, you know, sort of thing. That reverberates with me for whatever that's worth. but it's been great having you on this evening. We'd like to have you back some point. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful hour. I wish it didn't have to end, but it does. So, but thank you for having us on. And everybody, check out your website, or check out Cal's website, calorey.com, calorey.com. And she's got a wonderful book series on the healing powers of, and
yes,
we've
wonderful.
Talked about some of that. Any final thoughts on that, or how people can get a hold of you for your psychic work?
No, just take care of yourself and yours. You know, eat right, exercise, and try and chill. Stay healthy. It just, you know, there's things we can't control. You know, be prepared as much as possible.
Yes. Very good. Very, very, very positive and helpful note to end it on.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you guys, it's been fun. I love my kitty cat, Zen. My two doggies, my two Brittanys. I love them too.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. And good night, everybody.